I'm RJ with Market Street. This is FieldPot.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 10th of April, 2014. On this date, in 1606, the Virginia Company of London was established by James I to colonize North America. 1710, the Statute of Anne, the first law regulating copyright, enters into force in Great Britain. 1821, Patriarch Georgi V of Constantinople is hanged by the Ottoman government from the main gate of the Patriarchate, and his body is thrown into the Bosphorus. 1874, the first Arbor Day is celebrated in Nebraska, a state known for not having a lot of trees. 1912, the Titanic leaves port in Southampton, England, for her only voyage. 1918, the Congress of Oppressed Nationalities closes in Rome, very important in drawing the current map of Europe. Non-white oppressed nationalities were not invited. 1919, very, very cool guy Emilio Zapata is assassinated in Mexico. 1925, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald is published by Charles Scribner's Sons. 1933, very, very cool organization, the Civilian Conservation Corps, is created. 1942, the Death March of Bataan begins. 1953, the first color 3D film opens, The House of Wax, starring Vincent Price. 1998, the Good Friday Agreement is reached in Belfast. 2010, Polish Air Force jet crashes near Smolensk in Russia, killing 96 people, including Polish President Lech Kaczynski and dozens of other senior officials. Birthdays today are Jim Bowie of The Knife and The Alamo, journalist Joseph Pulitzer, bridge player Omar Sharif, actor Max van Sydow, and union organizer Dolores Huerta. Today it is just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum. Things that people posted are last week. There was a great Rustavi Ori story about Kargi Gogo, Tbilpod's favorite Portland food truck. We'll post a link on the forum. It's not in English, sorry to say, although somebody from Kargi Gogo or somebody should subtitle it. Also, a great studio. I mean, I'm kind of dying to hear what they were saying about Portland. They showed a beach scene and, you know, these sort of fat people, fat Americans walking along the beach. And I don't know. It's got to be an interesting vignette into what Rustavi Ori has to say about Portland and the United States. Also, a great studio monitor story on fuel and what's really in it. It's very much worth watching, and it has English subtitles. For those who don't know, Studio Monitor and its crack team are the best investigative journalists in Georgia. They're always worth watching. Please keep stuff coming, links, comments, yawn counts, or anything else directly to tfieldpod.com or send us an email at tfieldpod@gmail.com. We also had a correction sort of emailed to us. Last week I mentioned Borispol Airport as opposed to Borispil. For those who aren't clued into the politics of Ukrainian spelling and pronunciation, O changes to I often in Ukrainian names. So, for example, Kharkov is the Russian pronunciation. Kharkiv is the Ukrainian pronunciation. So if the places are in Ukraine, let's go ahead and use the Ukrainian spelling and pronunciation, particularly at this age of uncertain issues there and neighbors working on shrinking Ukraine. Thank you very much for that. And finally, we are introducing a new feature. Everybody listen, new tfieldpod.com feature showing up. Our very own database, which has resources for non-natives living in Tbilisi. We'll try to keep it up to date, but if you have new resources, you can post them on our forum or email them to us, and we'll update the categories. Even the most seasoned veterans will learn a few new things. Check it out at www.tfieldpod.com/database or up on the right-hand side of our webpage on the top. Following up on last week's story about Shalva Tatukashvili, the prosecutor's office published more material regarding his death. Who was a witness? He was a witness against Data Khalaya, the former head of Kudi. The new evidence includes official autopsy report, phone call data, and photos provided by the National Forensics Bureau. According to the autopsy report, Tatukashvili died from an acute respiratory failure due to a mixture of alcohol and a substance in benzodiazepine group, commonly known as benzos. The statement read, all injuries observed on the body are mild and have no connection to the death. According to the phone records, Tatukashvili called investigator Znelashvili several times beginning on the 18th of March. Prosecutor's office say this precludes the family's assumption that Znelashvili tortured him. On the same day, the lawyer Irakli Zakharishvili, who claims to represent Tatukashvili, although he also represents Achalaya, published the results of an alternative autopsy report, which doesn't indicate the cause of death, but deals with the visible injuries on the body. The alternative autopsy says the injuries on the body were inflicted 5 to 7 days before his death. They were caused by multiple blows by hard, blunt objects, potentially a man's fist or a baton. The prosecutor seems sort of speculative. The prosecutor's office questioned the independent results. Since it was only conducted on the basis of photographs, Tatukashvili's family suspects he was forced to take medicine, which caused his death after several days. The prosecutor's office questioned Giga Bokeri, a former head of the National Security Council, with regards to an embezzlement case. As a reminder, after the Georgian Dream won the 2012 parliamentary election, Bokeri remained in government for 1 year. During that time, BI said that a lot of financing was taken from the budget of the NSC and UNM and spent this money on lobbyists with the help of Bokeri, who has contacts with influential people in the U.S. However, the NSC's spending remain unknown and documents were kept secret. This is what Bokeri was questioned about. After 5 hours of interrogation, Bokeri said it was conducted in a peaceful manner. Before going in, he thought he might be detained. Bokeri said the interrogators didn't specify how much money he supposedly embezzled. Bokeri's wife, Tamara Cergulashvili, the founder of Tabula, promised to raise hell for BI and Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili if the police detain her husband. On the 8th of April, Speaker of Parliament Dato Usupashvili addressed the Chairman of the Parliament of the EU member states. Usupashvili said, quote, Georgia may disappear from the world map without NATO, and this may happen very soon. In April 2008, at the NATO summit, member countries made a decision that Georgia would become a member of the alliance. This consensus was difficult, but they did not discuss the mechanisms, the instruments, and dates. I believe this was one of the causes of the Russian aggression in August 2008. We are in a more difficult situation today. We understand that if Georgia takes a step towards NATO, this will cause more aggression from Russia against Georgia. We are risking, and that's why we need a direct response to a direct question. What will NATO do if Russia still targets Georgia? End quote. The EU ambassador to Georgia, Philip Dimitrov, voiced his support for Usupashvili's question. It is a very reasonable question. The main worry right now is that Russia will try to establish some sort of corridor to Armenia through Georgia from its colony South Ossetia, between Armenia and Russia. I mean, there's speculation about that. There's Russian troop movements in South Ossetia, things like that. And this is a great existential question for NATO. What do they do if that happens? Because it's a good thing for them to figure that out and discuss that now rather than later. Because if Russia does do that, which I do not think that they will, but then again, I didn't think that they were going to invade and annex Crimea either. But if they do that, then Estonia will be next, and Estonia is a NATO member. Interior Minister Alexei Chadze said in an interview with the newspaper Primetime that UNM is preparing a Euromaidan-style protest in Georgia. He claims to have information that UNM started collecting tires. Chadze did not name his source. Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili later commented on the Interior Minister's statement, saying that there wasn't anything alarming about his statement. He clarified that the minister commented on the unachievable desires which, quote, some abnormal people may have, end quote. Former head of SODI, Erekli Kodua, is now on Interpol's wanted list. The Georgian authorities accuse him of exceeding official authority and fraud. As a reminder, Kodua left Georgia after the parliamentary elections in 2012. He is believed to be living in Prague. Following up on last week's story about Misha's Skype questioning, Deputy Chief Prosecutor Irakli Shotanze said Misha failed to do his civic duty and come in for questioning, but the investigations are proceeding without him. Shotadze explained that the former president will not be declared wanted because this is only done when a person is formally charged. As a reminder, a few weeks ago, the prosecutor's office summoned Misha in to answer questions about 10 criminal cases, including the death of former Prime Minister Zudaszvanya. Misha refused both to return for questioning and to be questioned via Skype. He said he would agree to give Skype testimony in court during a trial for a specific case. Misha wants to found a reform center in Kiev so young people can learn about governmental reforms. He plans to bring students, including Georgians, there. He claims to be in negotiations with several universities. The former president also says he has received several job offers in Kiev. Georgian young lawyers Gaila demands that the government start investigating several cases of possible mistreatment of prisoners. According to Gaila, 17 people contacted the organization in the last 2 months. 8 of them claim that police insulted and physically abused them. 9 others complain they experienced this kind of abuse by employees of correctional institutions. Gaila said the cases have not effectively been investigated. Public defender Uchen Anuashvili said there are currently positive changes in the prison system, but he is still receiving a large number of complaints about possible violations of prisoners' human rights. A coalition of opposition parties, Nino Bourgenadze's Democratic Movement, Georgian Dasi, the Christian Democratic Movement, and the Left Alliance, presented their candidate for Tbilisi mayor, former member of parliament Dima Lorkhipanidze. The name of the coalition is the United Opposition. We can tell how well they intend to do in the elections. As a reminder, Lorkhipanidze was also a candidate for ombudsman in 2012 after the change in government. For those who don't remember, he's largely known for his befuddled and homophobic commentary. This is in keeping with the Kremlin's policy of ensuring that its allies in the near abroad tend to be uniform in their homophobic bent, using it as a pathway to portray the West as promoting homosexualism. This is, of course, ridiculous, because although you all know that the goal of Tpilpod.com is to subvert Georgian national traditions by making everybody gay, we also know that the European Union has other goals besides making everybody gay, like legislating vegetable shapes. The government created an interagency commission to handle violations ahead of the local elections, which are scheduled for the 15th of June. The commission will be led by Justice Minister Teodosiu Lukiani. Other members are the deputy ministers of various ministries, specifically internal affairs, foreign affairs, finance, defense, regional infrastructure, education, and prisons. The commission will work with political parties and election lists, as well as local and international organizations, observers, and the media. The commission will stop functioning after the election results. This has worked pretty well in the past. They've done this for the last several years. Bukidia was the guy really sort of running it in the past under the former government. Georgian Dream Party received over 500,000 lari in donations this year. Approximately 60 individuals donated to the party, including the prime minister's father-in-law, the much-discussed Tamaz Tamazashvili, who donated 1,500 lari. The Republican Party, also in the Georgian Dream Coalition, received only 30 lari in the same period. During the last 3 months, other parties received no donations. 30 lari is not really a campaign contribution. It's sort of like a tip. That's sad. President Georgi Margvelashvili appointed new ambassadors to India, Kuwait, Slovenia, and the Vatican. According to a presidential decree, Levan Nijaradze became ambassador to India. Nijaradze worked in the embassy of Georgia in Kuwait. Georgia's new ambassador to Kuwait is Roland Beridze, who was the Georgian consul in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The ambassador to Slovenia is Zura Bekaya, who has prior diplomatic experience in Cyprus. Do we really need an ambassador in Slovenia? But okay, why not? Good skiing. Tamuna Gerdzalidze will be ambassador to the Vatican. Gerdzalidze worked at the World Council of Churches in Geneva. I met Gerdzalidze years ago. Went to Oxford, is very, very smart. That's a great appointment and should do wonderful things for Georgia's relations with the Catholic Church. Government is considering launching a state-run development bank of Georgia. Economy Minister Dato Kvitikashvili said that the bank would be based on reorganizing the state-owned partnership fund, which holds stakes in major state enterprises, including the railway, oil, and gas corporations, and electrical power grid. The planned bank, which will not take deposits, will support large-scale infrastructure projects. Kvitikashvili said that Member of Parliament Dato Saganalidze, leader of the Georgian Dream Parliamentary Majority Group, is being considered as a possible head. Wow. On the 9th of April, members of the government planted saplings in the 9th of April park in Tbilisi to commemorate the deadly dispersal of protesters by Soviet troops 25,000 years ago. And they also laid the cornerstone of a new development project in that park. No, just kidding. Guerrilla gardeners, hold back, stay in Bakke. The protesters had gathered in front of the parliament building to demand Georgia's independence, at least as reported by the press, which is interesting since Georgia is already independent. Just shows how long things take to get internalized. The government began the income tax refund process. All Georgian citizens who earn less than 6,000 lari last year are eligible for a refund. In order to obtain their refunded taxes, citizens need to fill out a special form at the Revenue Service website. Following this, they will be sent information about how much money will be returned to them. After submitting their electronic data, successful candidates will receive their refund within 3 months. The maximum amount of the refund is 360 lari. On the 7th of April, the Justice House reopened 4 months after a storm damaged the building's roof. Actually, the damage was from the terribleness of its construction, not from a storm, but anyway. Marshutka drivers who work on the Tbilisi-Rustavi route have been on strike for several days. They're protesting outside Georgian Dream office in Tbilisi. They accuse Rustavi city authorities and Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze of corruption. City Hall in Rustavi recently announced a tender to replace the Marshutkas. The company Intertrans won and is planning to replace the Marshutkas with yellow ones, but the drivers who have their own Marshutkas claim that the tender was rigged and that ordinary drivers weren't able to participate. They also claim that the company has ties with Kaladze's friends. They demand the tender be declared invalid. Boy, those Marshutka tenders sure have a tendency to head south. I mean, the problem is that nobody's being particularly honest with the Marshutka drivers, which is that people want to have a company deal with this so that they're uniform standards rather than having the often not-so-tidy Marshutkas and not-so-new Marshutkas that the individual drivers own. And politically, nobody wants to tell the Marshutka drivers that they're not there. They and their, or at least their Marshutkas are not so so wanted anymore. There was an inside deal with connections of Ugulavas when they did this in Tbilisi, and you know, sounds as if the habit is being kept up. Authorities in Ajada reversed an earlier decision which would have allowed the Muslim population to build a new mosque in Batumi. Instead, Ajada will only allow the Muslim community to expand the current mosque in the city. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Mourman Dumbadze, well-known Islamophobe, said that this conflict over the mosque in Batumi was provoked by the UNM. Not exactly sure how that was done. He, since he was the one in the campaign that was making the most incendiary remarks, he added that Turkey agreed to renovate Georgian heritage sites on its territory without anything in return. As a reminder, in October, BI promised that the new mosque would be built in Batumi. As a result, a conflict broke out because many thought that the idea to construct a new mosque was the result of Turkish pressure. The Patriarch declared Mscheta a holy city. Ilya II said that the full title of Mscheta will be Holy City, the holy capital Mscheta. This was done in accordance to the final will of Melchizedek I, the first patriarch of Georgia. Siko Gegiadze, the National Tourism Administration coordinator, commented that the new status will make the city more interesting for visitors. A three-floor, 23,000-square-meter building will be built in Batumi to serve as a bus terminal and retail area. It will serve about 500 buses every day and connect Batumi with the rest of Georgia, Turkey, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. CBS News reported that the 19-year-old Georgian swimming champion Anna Lominadze swam cuffed with her feet bound by chains in the allegedly old style for Georgian military training. She broke the Guinness Book of World Records by crossing a pool of 25 meters in just under 22 seconds. That's incredibly fast, by the way, for those who don't know. There are very few people that I've known that could swim 25 yards freestyle in that time. There are now public recycling bins on Tamadashvili Street close to the Hippodrome. Bring your glass, paper, and plastic to keep it from going into a landfill. The group is overseeing this is called Co-op, C-O-O-P, Recycling Georgia. Look them up on Facebook. Georgian manuscripts preserved in the Oxford and Cambridge libraries in the UK will soon be digitized. The original versions will then be returned to Georgia. Khingali and Khachapuri were named on the list of foods worth traveling for in the Daily Meal magazine. The dishes were mentioned among 150 foods from all over the world. And in parliamentary news, the parliament endorsed a new local self-governance law, which was adopted in February. This law granted self-governance status to 7 more towns, Tel Aviv, Mzchete Gori, Achaltsikhe, Ambra, Lauri, Ozurgeti, and Zugdidi. Other self-governed cities are Tbilisi, Rustavi, Kutaisi, Batumi, and Poti. The number of sacrobulos to be elected in the 15th of June local elections will be increased from 64 to 71 as a result of splitting up 7 municipalities. Along with sacrobulos, voters in 12 self-governed cities will also directly elect mayors. Voters in municipalities will elect gamgeblevi. Parliament approved an amendment which will allow prosecutors to press criminal charges against UNM Member of Parliament Roland Ahalaya. The amendment, which UNM opposed, removes a clause from the Criminal Procedures Code which requires requires parliamentary approval for prosecutors to bring criminal charges against a Member of Parliament. Georgian Dream MP argued that by removing this clause, the Criminal Procedures Code is now in line with the Constitution, which does not stipulate that prosecutors must seek the Parliament's approval to bring criminal charges against MPs. Following up on last week's story about the presidential granting of citizenship, the new draft no longer requires that the Prime Minister approve the President granting or revoking of Georgian citizenship. The new law also defines 4 categories of granting citizenship: a common procedure, a simplified version, exceptional circumstances by the rule of restoration, and by the rule of restoration. Mark Velashvili opposed the original draft law because the Prime Minister would have had to approve the President's decisions, which is not in the Constitution. The meme this week relates to the 25th anniversary of the April 9th tragedy. On Roosevelt Avenue at the memorial to the victims of the massacre in front of Parliament, people saw a wreath braided with a white, blue, and red ribbon. The deputy governor of Samgori district believed the ribbon to be symbolic of the Russian flag, and so he burned it. It turns out that the burned ribbon was not of Russian origin, but was a Slovakian flag brought to the memorial along with a wreath by the Slovak delegation headed by Slovakia's vice president on his official visit to Georgia. We'll post the video on the forum. An article, just as flags can be a little incendiary, flag burning, especially mistaken flag burning, is a little bit incendiary. Sorry for the pun. So, calm down on the symbolism here. An article from our Malibu desk officer titled "Syria, Sarin, False Flag Plans Revealed," end quote. According to a bogus article published by the Iranian news outlet PressTV.ir, groups in Turkey and eastern Ukraine with U.S., EU, and Al-Qaeda support are attempting to stage chemical weapon attacks inside Syria, Lebanon, and Israel in order to blame the Assad government and Iran. The article claims there are confirmed reports from Tbilisi the site of a peekaboo chemical weapons stockpile. I don't really know what a peekaboo chemical weapons stockpile is, but okay, whatever. Which were used in earlier operations in Syria. The article claims that groups in eastern Ukraine working with groups in Turkey were set to receive sarin shipments on Tuesday, the 8th of April. It's an article that is a classic of the type. I encourage everyone to read it. An article by Misha in Foreign Policy, also a classic of the type, titled "War is Coming." According to the article, in early March, Russia, after staging a referendum under Kalashnikovs in Crimea, proceeded to annex the region and lay the groundwork for new political legal realities. That is to say, a new Russian paradigm for a lawless world. Also a little paranoid, but just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get you. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia's public opinion poll about the healthcare system. Major findings of the poll include that the public awareness of healthcare rights remains poor. Most of the people who know they are covered by Universal health care and health insurance programs do not know how they are able to access free medicine. Public trust in universal health care or public insurance programs is low. And the most important finding from this poll is that a sizable portion of the country's population are willing to contribute financially to their health care and not be totally dependent on the government, which is a sound and reassuring attitude. Article in Democracy and Freedom Watch about bullying in Georgian schools. Human Rights Education and Monitoring Center studied 8 schools in Tbilisi and found that the Ministry of Education has not realized the severity of the problem of violations of freedom of religion in schools. The center found that most of the teachers' attitudes were discriminatory. My own personal view, having had kids in Georgian schools, would confirm the finding. This is a gigantic problem. All these things to read are posted in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 1.3, which is the crude divorce rate among 1,000 people in Georgia, according to the UN Demographic Yearbook in 2011. According to Geostat, the number of marriages in Georgia was estimated at 34,700 in 2013, while the number of divorces in the same year was 8,090. The crude divorce rate measures the number of divorces during the year to the average population. This standard is not the percentage of marriages that end in divorce. It's the number of divorces compared to the size of the population. 2011 UN Demographic Yearbook reports that Russia has one of the highest official divorce rates in the world, 4.7 divorces per 1,000 people. Armenia and Azerbaijan have 1.0 and 1.2 as their crude divorce rates, respectively. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday the 12th of April and on Wednesday the 16th of April, Noah at 8:30 p.m. Geno Paradise Tbilisi officially opened. It is a wellness and spa center attached to a children's water park. You can get an aroma massage or a Turkish soap massage, sit in a jacuzzi while drinking a beer or taking a bath in champagne, wine, or milk, like Cleopatra. There's also a state-of-the-art gym and personal trainers for hire. Operating hours are 10 to 10 every day of the week. Prices vary according to the age of the customer, facility to be used, and duration of the stay. For additional details, visit their webpage, Gino, that's G-I-N-O, paradise.ge. Not sure how the prices based on age of the customer situation work. So, can some of our older and younger listeners check it out and report back? A novel by Christina Nichold titled Waiting for the Electricity will come out in June. The book is set in Georgia, where Nicholl has taught English and provides an allegedly satirical but good-natured look at the clash between American and Georgian attitudes. You can pre-order the book on Amazon.com. I can't wait to read it. She's supposedly a very good writer. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website at www.tpeelpod.com. Remember White Rabbit by Grace Slick of Jefferson Airplane from 1967? Well, from the movie American Hustle, we'll finish with the recent cover by Lebanese-American singer Maissa Kara.
كيف الحزن طال